I think it's about time that we start with our meeting, and welcome to this first meeting of this term, which is the fourth term. We have only one item on the agenda, briefing by the Office of the Auditor General on the defense audit outcomes. And we go straight to the briefing from the Auditor General's office, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We are going to do the briefing for the portfolio of defense. And our briefing will include the Department of Defense and its other entities, which include AMSCO, that is Armed Corporation of South Africa, South African National Defense Force Fund, Special Defense Account, and the Castle Control Board. We are going to give the presentation on the audit outcomes for the financial year 11-12. I trust that members will have the copies of the presentation.
Your name?
There are two of them.
Your name?
Oh, yeah, let me start with introducing my name. My name is Musa Hlongwa, and my colleague is Jan Steenkamp. Jan Steenkamp is the senior manager that is responsible for the audit of the Department of Defense. And I am the Mataki is the business executive that is responsible as that is the head of department of our audit business unit, which amongst others audit the Department of Defense. I've got other departments that I'm responsible for. And Jan is specifically responsible for the audit of the Department of Defense. That is by way of introduction. Just in summary, the audit funding of the five entities that I mentioned are as follows. The Department of Defense for the year 11-12 had an unqualified audit opinion for the first time, I think, in the last 12 years or so. And I think it is important to point out here that the area of concern, which was the capital asset, that is the fixed asset, which has been problematic for some time, the department did get an exemption from the National Treasury to present certain categories of the capital assets, that is the immovable assets, the specialized military assets, and also the transport assets, which are the major categories of the assets. The assumption was to help them to make progress, because for some time now, because of the complexity of the nature of the assets, the department has struggled to have an unqualified audit opinion, because it was difficult to say where it should start because of its complex systems, legacy systems, and the nature of the assets themselves. So a plan was worked out with the National Treasury, whereby they were given a head start, so to say, that you know we can now present firstly the three major categories of assets, which are going to be subject to audit by the Auditor General, whilst the other numerous different classes of assets were presented by way of annexure, which was not subject to the audit in a similar way as the other three, so that if they did a good job, which they did on the three categories of assets, then the exemption will be taken away in the following years, so that they can now progress having had a start, you know, to present all of the other categories of fixed assets to make sure that at the end there is full accountability for all. So they did succeed, you know, giving that exemption, you know, to meet the requirements of the reporting standards, as a result of which they had an unqualified audit opinion. is the department. If you look at this document, main document, this one, which is the briefing document that we have prepared, and you go to page 2, that is paragraph 2, that deals with the audit history. Then you can see the history, the audit history that I am talking about. Firstly, the Department of Defense and Military Assets, you see that we have presented the 4 years, that is 8, 9, 9, 10, 10, 11, and 11, 12. What I'm talking about, you see that the color green represents the qualified audit opinion or audit report. The Department of Defense has had a qualified audit opinion for the last 3 years, more than 3 years, to only show the 4 years here. So of the last 4 years, the last 3 were qualified, but the last, very last financial year, 11-12, was unqualified for the first time. And that's why you have it colored orange. Orange meaning unqualified with other findings. Moving on to the next entity, which is AMSCO, Armaments Corporation of South Africa. We see that the past 3 years, it was the only one that had a clean audit opinion, and in the last financial year, 11-12, for the first time after 4 or 5 years, it now had an unqualified audit opinion with other findings. So it was no longer clean, and that was because of one finding on compliance with laws and regulations that made this year, as a result of which it was no longer clean, but it's still unqualified. The next entity that we're reporting on is the South African National Defence Force Fund, which is a fund within the Department of Defence. For the past 3 years, you see that it had it's colored orange. That means it had an unqualified audit opinion with other findings. But for the very last year, 11-12, for the first time, it had a clean audit opinion. That means there were no findings that were recorded on the audit report as regards that entity. And the next entity, being the Special Defense Accounts, a division of the Department of Defense, which is accounted for separately, you see that it is orange throughout the 4 years. That means it is unqualified with other findings. And lastly, the Card Control Board also is colored orange, which means it had it's unqualified audit opinion with also other findings. If you move down the page, you look more at the nature of the qualification or nature of other findings. You see, you have the qualified areas. It now explains in what areas was the qualification, which only applies to the Department of Defense, because you notice that the others have never been qualified. Only the department itself has been qualified. The nature of the qualification on the Department of Defense was related to tangible and intangible capital assets that were in the last 3 years. But as we have said, in the year 11-12, there was no qualification. So that's why we have these asterisks in the last 3 years, which means the areas of qualification. And in the year 8-9 and previous years, the Department of Defense was qualified in all these areas now, including tangible assets, accruals, lease commitments, guerrilla expenditure, and departmental revenue. So in the in the years 8-9 and the years before, the Department of Defense was actually qualified in several areas, and it continued to improve. And in the last 2 years, it was qualified only on the capital assets. And in this recently completed financial year, it was not qualified on capital assets. And we are hoping that it's going to maintain that record going forward. But as I said, the exemption which helped a lot in removing the qualification, it was only for this year. So next year the exemption is off. So the department will have to really make a good job of work as far as the capital assets are concerned. Bring down the other metals, which is the other findings that also appeared on the audit report. It now sets up the areas where those other metals were. Firstly, that's related to predetermined objectives, that is the performance information, which is very much related to or is all about safety delivery, which we also report on. You see that this now applies to the department and also to the other entities. For the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, the other findings as far as the predetermined objectives were concerned related to what were made in the years 8, 9, and 9, 10. So the department had other findings in those years. But in the last 2 years, year 9, 10, 11, and 11, 12, there were no findings on predetermined objectives. Next, the entity was the Castle Control Board, which also had findings in the 2 years, in all the years that have been audited. That is 9, 10, 11, 12. There were findings under predetermined objectives. Similarly, also for South African National Defence Force, there were findings in the last 3 of 4 years, but last year there were no findings under predetermined objectives. And then coming to compliance with laws and regulations, on which we also report in the audit report, there were findings relating to the Department of Defense and Military Assets in all the 4 years reported. Compliance laws and regulations relate to compliance with laws like treasury regulations, like supply chain management, and all such laws, procurement and product management. That is where these findings were made. Also, in the Armaments Corporation of South Africa, you see there were no findings in the last 3 of the 4 years. There were only findings in the last year, which mainly was about compliance with the signing of the shareholders' compact, which was not signed for the last financial year. Shareholders' compact is the agreement that is signed between the minister or the department and the entity as to what the shareholder expects of the entity. That is supposed to be signed in terms of treasury regulations every year, so that the entity knows exactly what it's supposed to do. For the last year, for some reason or other, the department failed to have that agreement signed, and that was the only finding that leads to, which is reported on here as non-compliant with laws and regulations. Otherwise, AMSCO has had no problems as far as reporting is concerned in the last few years. It has always had an excellent audit opinion except for the last year. Moving down, the Castle Control Board also had findings regarding compliance with laws and regulations for all the reported years, last 4 reported years. And also special trend accounts had similar findings in the last 4 years. And then we move to the next page, that is page 3. This page deals with the focus areas where we focus more closely into the areas, mainly non-compliance clause regulations and the predetermined objectives. Basically, as what we found to be problematic as far as the department or the entity concerned for audit purposes. The areas that we pay special attention upon include supply chain management, which is the first column. The other area was the predetermined objectives, that is the performance information. The next area was in areas of HR management. The next area was IT controls, and the next area was material errors. And then the next one was as regards the that one was material errors in the financial. financials that are submitted to us. You know, for the first time, departments or the entities have to submit the financials in terms of PMA by the 31st of May. We look at those financials to see if there were material errors which required audit intervention to correct them to the state where they could be reported on. If there were material errors, then we report on that one, because they are supposed to submit the financials to us as free of errors as possible. So that we just do the audit. You know, we don't actually find the errors for them to be able to arrive at what they should have reported in the state. This is what we report on there. And then the next one regarded the the next one regarded the financial health, which is the new area that we look at, which also is linked to the way that the resources are used by the department, and also to the adequacy or otherwise of the fund the department has got in order to be able to carry out its mandate or its objectives. Looking at those areas, we see when you looked at the department itself, where it's red, it means that there were problems. Where it's green, it means there were no problems. And where it's yellow, it means the situation was unchanged as compared to the previous years. There was progress that was going on to take care of the weaknesses that were existing in that area. For example, if you look at supply chain management, you see that for the Department of Defense, the area is red. That means there were findings on supply chain management. That would be findings relating to non-compliance with the legislation, for example. That would include also areas where, for example, the employees were found to be carrying out certain activities for which they had not obtained permission from the department, which we have to in terms of the of supply chain management. When it comes to the predetermined objectives, we see that is green. That means there were no negative findings. There were no material findings that were reported on in the financials. Coming to HR, you see that that is orange. There were some concerns regarding, for example, performance contracts for some senior management that had not been signed, which they are expected in terms of the past public service relations to sign. Performance contracts regarding the work they are required to perform in the department. That also included where there were some details that were not verified as far as the employees' details were concerned, which are required to be verified in terms of the applicable policies and regulations. That is now in HR. Coming to IT, you'll see that is also orange, which means there were some areas that still needed to be worked on, including the inadequate systems security, for example, as far as the IT systems are concerned, including the change management, for example, including the access controls, etc., for the IT system, which is very important in that area. So those were the findings on IT. Coming to material errors in the financial statement. That is red also, because that is where most of the problems were for the defense as regards capital assets, that is fixed assets, which, as I was explained, they got an exemption on, and they were able to, in the last year, be unqualified, but which still requires a lot of work for them to be really completely, to report completely as they are expected to, especially when the exemption is taken away. So there are still a lot of challenges in that regard. And the last column relating to the financial the financial situation, there is no problem there. That is why that is green. That is for the department. Coming to the AMSCO, it's only under HR and under IT that there is some problems. HR is related to the to some vacancies, for example. IT is related to, among others, for example, what do they call them? Systems that are very old, you know.
Yes,
which some of them are written in abstract, and they need a major overhaul in the IT department to make sure that there is there's continuity into the future. Some of the programs have been there for a long time and they're not documented, you know, so if the employees that are currently carrying out those kind of tasks eventually leave, there would be a problem because there is no way that the new people can learn what is involved. So there's still a major challenge there as far as the IT system is concerned. Currently it works okay, but looking to the future,
challenges. What about Africans?
Some of the programs are, for example, written long time ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and were written in Afrikaans at that time. No, they were okay. But now for the new people coming in, they might have a problem, you know, understanding those policies, those decisions. And some of them are kept in the memory of the current incumbents, which means when they leave, then they leave with whatever information they've got. You know, so there is a major requirements for proper documentation of the system, making sure that the continuity and
Africa is still an official language.
Yes, exactly.
We have a challenge to upgrade and improve these systems because of language and the adequacy of the housekeeping that was maintained by the people who actually wrote the programs initially. Because if there's not proper housekeeping done or proper explanations of programs, etc., it's difficult to maintain and update these programs. So there's need to develop new IT systems that can integrate with that of defense. And even the defensive systems are outdated systems, and they're waiting for the IFMS to come into operation, but that will only be fighting over a number of years.
So it's not just Afrikaans, it's a continuity.
Yeah.
That is AMSCO. The third one being the South African Defence Force Fund, that one there is nothing major to report on. And also the next one, the SDA, there is nothing serious under those focus areas that was identified. As far as the castle control is concerned, supply chain management, predetermined objectives, and also material errors in the financial statements were the focus areas where we made some findings during our audit. So basically, this summarizes the areas of focus areas where we looked at where there are specific problems, you know, for the five entities on that list. Yes, on the Customs Control Board, the EFOS 3, supply chain management, which includes, for example, uncompetitive procurement processes that were adopted, findings in that area. It also includes the...
The supply chain side, the uncompetitive bidding, and in general, non-compliant with supply chain management policies on that side. On the predetermined objectives, they didn't prepare performance information report for the year, and there was no proper monitoring by the board and by the audit committee of the performance information for the year. And then on the last one there, on the field of errors in the financial statement submitted, the figures pertaining to employee costs, assets, and illegal expenditure had to be changed materially in order to avoid audit qualification.
Right, those are the summary of the findings under the corporate area. And then the next paragraph, paragraph 3.1, gives more details in each area that identified what exactly went wrong. For example, 3.1 relates to supply chain management for the Department of Defense and military veterans. You see that paragraph 1, for example, in some instances, goods and services of a transaction
Oyan, can you take through that? Yes. The first one deals with a value above 500,000, where there must be competitive bidding process that is determined. And the second block deals with, honourable members and chair, deals with the members performing remunerative work outside of business department without the necessary approval from the department to perform the extra work. And then the next entity is the Castle Control Board. The Castle Control Board also had findings pertaining to services procured below 500,000, yet it did not obtain the required number of quotations, three quotations. And they've also awarded contracts or work to bidders that didn't achieve the highest points in terms of the evaluation process. And the root cause for that in the case of the parcel control is that there are no
proper policies and procedures and monitoring by the board
to actually avoid these other or irregular expenditures. And so they will have to, as a recommendation, they will have to come up with proper policies and procedures and monitoring process to actually monitor supply chain management properly. If we can then move on to predetermined objectives, there were actually no findings, no material findings on the defense side. The only problem or the only matter that we've reported on is the fact that they did not achieve 43% of the predetermined objective of their targets that they set. And the problem for, or the main reason for that is the actual, there's not clarity with regard to the performance indicators in the strategic plan. That is the main problem that they're facing with, and they're busy actually addressing that challenge. If we get to the Castle Control Board, the Castle Control Board did not prepare a report in terms of Section 55, 2A, with regard to their predetermined objectives. So we couldn't actually measure the usefulness and the reliability of performance information in the case of the Castle Control Board. Again, the board will have to intervene and make sure that there's proper reporting, quarterly reporting, and then final reporting in the annual report on the members. Then for OMSCOR, there were no material findings pertaining to usefulness and reliability of information. Again, they could also not achieve 27.9% of their targets. If I can carry on, honourable members, to paragraph 3.3, relates to HR, human resources. On the defence and military veterans side, we have the same problem as last year, that not all senior managers have performance agreements, signed performance agreements, or these agreements were not finally signed by these managers. And the root cause there is, I think, that there are insufficient monitoring controls in place to ensure that all senior managers have actually signed performance contracts. Then some employees worked
overtime in excess of 30% of the basic salary. I think this mostly relates to medical doctors. Now, in these cases, there should be special approval from the executive authority, from the minister, to actually exceed the 30%. But I believe they've already implemented the necessary controls to prevent a reoccurrence of this. Then the last thing under matter under the employee human resources for the department is that all the claims in the application forms were not verified prior to the appointments of members. Then on the IT side, paragraph 3.3, honourable members, the first finding relates to security control.
3.4.
The first finding relates to the adequate configure of security controls, which result in non-compliance with the security policies of the department. Then the second finding relates to rights of privileged users that's not adequately controlled, and these people have got specific access to the systems. Then the third finding relates to change management, that is changes to the programs. Then this fourth one relates to a lack of policies for secure data transfer between different locations. The fifth finding relates to segregation of duties between the financial and the log systems. The sixth refers to business continuity, non-compliance in terms of the management charter. The seventh finding relates to a lack of capacity and infrastructure to actually perform a proper disaster recovery plan within the department. And the eighth finding deals with patch management, which is actually part of the change controls. If I can carry on to paragraph 3.5, honourable members, it deals with material omission, errors and omissions in the financials submitted for audit. On the Department of Defence, this primarily relates to assets. There were material changes to the asset register as well as the disclosure notes pertaining to assets. And the root cause or the primary reason for this is insufficient monitoring and control over the compilation of these asset registers and the actual disclosure notes, and also the fact that they haven't got accurate record keeping in place with regard to assets. Again, they will have to, as a recommendation, they'll have to put in proper structures and monitoring controls to ensure accurate disclosure of assets in the financial statements. On the course of control board, they have to effect material changes with regard to assets, employee costs, and irregular expenditure. And that was also then in contravention with section 55.1b of the PSMA. That change had to actually prevent the qualification. This is also as a result of insufficient monitoring and control by the parcel manager, and which resulted in this and these errors occurring. On the financial health factors, there are no specific issues to report. I think for a department by Correctional the Defence, it is quite an achievement to pay the bulk of the invoices within 30 days, and also the creditors,
to collect the debtors within a reasonable period of time. They have spent the budgets in terms of appropriation. They haven't exceeded the budgets. So I think they deserve a compliment with regard to that. On paragraph 3.7, other compliance, the first finding relates to the strategic plan of the Defence Force. Now, the duty has got two strategic plans, one for the Secretariat and one for the Chief. Now, the one for the Chief of the SANDF wasn't tabled in Parliament on time. It was late, about 10 days prior to the discussion of the budget vote, as required in terms of Treasury Regulation 522. The other compliance issue relates to internal audits. The internal audit is still not operational. They have appointed a head of internal audit subsequent to year end. However, to get that properly staffed is a bit of a challenge for the department at this stage. The Castle Control Board is a finding relating to the Audit Committee. Audit Committee was actually not fully operational throughout the year. Audit Committee members were not appointed by the Accounting Authority for the period 1 November to 31 March, as required by Treasury Regulation 2714. And the board actually did not follow up on that. Then on the second finding relates to accumulated surplus that they did not pay over to National Treasury without the necessary approval as required in terms of Section 53C of Public Finance Management Act. It was about 800,000 rand that they retained. The second finding on the castle relates to the lack of steps to prevent irregular expenditure as required by the Treasury, by the PFMA Section 51B2, Roman 2. And then the next one relates to the strategic and performance management. The accounting authority, which is the board, did not finalize and submit a strategic plan for approval to the relevant executing authority, executive authority, on or before 1 April as required by Treasury Regulation 31.1 and 31.2. And the next finding relates to the quarterly reporting and the transparent, the next one is to the proper system to ensure proper controls with regard to performance objectives. And the next entity is Arms Corp, and this is about the shareholders compact that was not signed, that Mr. Sloma referred to. This is under 3.7, homeschool. Have you got that one? Oh, they never got 30-40. Do you have a thing?
No.
Not? I've got two more. Well, in the package. Okay. only put a seat in the package. This is the last item. Do honourable members have the copy, all of you? It's not like the copy is not here, I see, but it's a copy. So everybody should, just a question of everybody having that copy, must give everybody the copy. Does everybody have the copy? Yeah, okay. Then can you continue, Mr. Skin? Okay. The public entity as required by Treasury Regulation 29.2. Then, special defence account. We have a matter of financial misconduct. The first point that we've raised is that investigations were not conducted in terms of the alleged financial misconduct committed by an official as required by Treasury Regulation 4.1.1. And then the investigation should have been done within 30 days of the discovery of thereof. There has been also non-compliance. And the third point that we raise is that the executive authority did not conduct investigation into the allegations committed by a previous accounting officer as required by Treasury Regulation 413. Then on page 15, paragraph 4, deals with the commitments by the executive authority. We had an engagement with the minister on the 11th of July, where the minister actually committed to follow up quarterly on the key control assessments and related matters, as well as to actually follow up on the action plan for the assets that were, for which a departure was obtained from National Treasury during the 11-12 financial year. That is all assets, all other assets except for the specialized military assets, transport assets, and the immovable assets. Then paragraph 5, other matters of interest. The first there is unauthorized expenditure. There were actually no unauthorized expenditure incurred by any of the entities in the portfolio for the year under review. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Department of Defence and military veterans. There was an amount of 800,000 incurred for the year under review. Previous year it was 500,000. The majority of that 800,000 rand relates to a work session that was about 37,000 that was cancelled, that did not take place. then the irregular expenditure, there was for military veterans on page 16, there was an amount of 414.7 million incurred during the year. In the prior year it was 688.7. The reason for the improvement there is the department updated the policies and procedures with the latest treasury regulations, requirements, supply chain requirements and practice notes. And the policy was only, I think it was rolled out towards the end of November last year, and that explains the improvement in the numbers here. The Fossil Control Board at 1.185 million. This relates to the uncompetitive bidding process that happened, and the fact that bidders were awarded contracts without scoring the lowest points in the scoring system. Then paragraph 6, other AG reports.
There were no
investigations or nothing investigations are currently underway by the AG performance audits, and there are also no performance audits. There was, however, one performance audit, and it will be shortly, which will be reported on shortly, and that relates to the use of consultants. That was a horizontal audit and not specific to the Department of Defense. Honourable Chair, if you can carry on to the next, to the annexure to the briefing. The first slide deals with the audit outcomes and the area of qualifications.
Got
that?
Yes,
that one. Yes. We have already actually dealt with this slide on page 2 of the briefing document. We've already dealt with the, with that slide. On page 2 of the briefing document, the audit history and the areas of qualifications. We dealt with it. Unless there's something specific, I would say that you would like me to discuss in that regard.
No. What we should now do, I think you have given us the brief. We need to give the honourable members an opportunity to ask questions of clarity, and because members, honourable members, this is meant to empower us when we get reports next week from the department. Honourable Dennis, Honourable Mania, Honourable Galadeli, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the members of the Auditor General for the information that they've given. So I just want to check on two things. The one thing, seeing that 11, 12 audit findings have improved for the department, I just wanted to check, Chair, if we have anything that talks to recourse in terms of the continuation of qualified reports from department to department by the Auditor General. Do we have anything on recourse? That is one. Number two, do you have these companies that are awarded contracts whether by all the entities and work under the Department of Defense, all the other entities including the department, so that we're able to monitor closely the procedures are not followed and where people who are supposed to be responsible for overseeing or oversight are not doing that? And lastly, on the appointments, do we perhaps have a number of how many people were appointed without proper procedures being followed? That will talk to positions or levels. That will also talk to financial implications of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to focus on five areas in the first round. I'd like to deal with the first point, and that is the clean audit. The department received a clean audit this year, and certainly I understand that the former Minister of Defence is shouting from the hilltops about an historic moment. But now we hear that the clean audit was achieved not as a result of dealing with the root cause of the problem relating to assets, but in fact as a result of an exemption from the National Treasury. So I just want to be absolutely clear as we prepare. First, the exemption, I understand, would have been granted by the National Treasury. Is that correct or not? Second, what legal authority would the National Treasury use in order to grant that exemption? My reading is it's likely to be the PFMA, and in terms of the PFMA, the National Treasury would be required to gazette the exemption. Are you aware of whether they did so? Thirdly, what is the value of the assets that were not disclosed, reported on, and audited by the AG's office? My reading of your annexures is that the value of those assets may be as much as the value may be as great as 30 billion rands worth of assets. And then finally, is there any precedent? Has any other department, to the best of your knowledge, ever been granted a similar exemption? It seems to me that the Department of Defence's clean audit, Chair, has not been achieved as a result of dealing with the root cause, but has really been achieved by sleight of hand. So that's the first point. The second point relates to irregular expenditure. On page 251 and 252 of your report, in respect of 27.2, there's a deviation from the bidding process. The value of that contract is about 271 million. What are the specifics? Exactly what contract are we dealing with? Then there's a value of 52 million relating to sourcing of aircraft. What exactly, sourcing which aircraft are we dealing with?
Honorable Daniels?
And then under 27.5, that's details of irregular expenditure under investigation again. There is a value of 109 million rand relating to sourcing of aircraft. What aircraft exactly? And what is the status of that investigation? Chair, then thirdly, I'd like to turn to the special defense account. As you know, the Auditor General has provided reports for 2012 and 2011, and I'm concerned to see that all is not well under the special defense account. Now, in respect of 2012, there is a matter of financial misconduct. There is alleged misconduct which was not investigated. What exactly are we dealing with here? What contract? What is the value of that contract? It's important to know that. Then again, in the 2011 financial year, there is fruitless and wasteful expenditure in respect of a contract to the value of 110 million. And there's also a procurement process relating to, and I quote, a major capital project which went wrong. Which capital project exactly? What this committee needs is the detail. Then finally, Chair, during this financial year, the Auditor General will be aware that I asked the AG to investigate the matter of expenditure on backup aircraft, so-called shadow planes. The Auditor General agreed to carry out that investigation. What has that investigation been completed? What is the outcome? And when will I receive a report on that investigation? Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks, Mr. Pinkamp and Mr. Tong. I've got one question and one comment. When Mr. Tong was presenting his presentation number one on page 2 under AMSCO, who said they are no longer keen because of compliance with law and regulation for one to be able to know when they present, which were those laws and regulations that made them not to be keen? That's the only question I have. The second thing is a comment. You know, Auditor General's office, it's like for me, sitting here and reading, it's like they are auditing us, the members. Like you're telling us in a very clear and unquestionable manner what we should go and oversee. It is so helpful. The work we have done is so helpful. Tells us everything, including the root causes. For me, I feel I'm being audited as a member, as a public representative of what was I supposed to be doing with these entities. And I don't think I'm the only one. But you must know that we have really done a good work for people who are public servants to really go and check thoroughly what is there, because we're going to be in a position of even asking more questions about things that we found there, which might not appear. I like the question that just lap at one question that was raised. I like it. So just want to comment that it's not just about these entities. You're auditing all of us. It's what you're supposed to go into and come back with and finish with, to say, help us on the following issues. Thank you. I don't know whether I'm being clear, but that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Well, can we just go on and ask questions? Honorable Dundas, Honorable Isahu, and this round will be done with.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe the Auditor General's office should tell us, even though they have given us a bit of what informed the exemption. I need also to be specific to say, post-1994, or rather, let me say, before 1994, I wouldn't know if you know, did we have a register? Or did we inherit, this department inherited the fact that there was no register? And therefore, that's why the need arised for this exemption. So that was clear as to what is it exactly are we dealing with. Because over time, this department, you need to remember, this is a different department. It is not like any other department of government. Even though this government is supposed to make sure that the public out there gets information on every government department, but this is a department that deals with security of the country. That we should remember all the time. What is it exactly that we're dealing with here? Because it does not help us to say, this has not been done, that has not been done, simply because now there's a government that has said there must be an Auditor General that audits the finances of government so that it can report out there. So can we get exactly when did this start? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Yeah, maybe I think we'll just ask the AGES office to give us some bit more detail on the treasury side, because in the report of the annual report as well, certain of the assets has been basically rated at 1 rand, which is not true value, and that doesn't reflect one on an asset register of what you're actually sitting with. The reflection of the total amount was 26 billion, but clearly that is not a true reflection. Then of course we know the treasury regulations pertaining to asset registers, which have changed, which has become more meticulous, and where more detail is required. And I think this is why the departments have been given some leeway to come up to scratch over a period of time to meet those requirements. But fundamentally, these issues are all affected by the technology. We find that the computer systems that can actually aid this as all legacy systems. So I think the BRRR process that needs to look at, that is one of the key areas where more money needs to be invested and more skilled human resources to improve that condition. So we've got a serious worry about that area, which is still going to carry on into the new future with no major changes. The issue I want to raise is the AGES approach to qualification areas. I see here with all the areas identified, tangible, intangible, all the others, everybody's clear in the year 11 to 12. All the five entities, there's nothing under those areas written. And in the previous years, we find that all of them in 8, 9, they all were qualified under those areas. Now, irregular expenditure in the report in the department is very high. And if you look at the amount of irregular expenditure, how come it is not considered here and a point May 11, 12 by the department? When that's 2 pages of irregular expenditure, and even further investigations. So I just want to know how the AG arrived at no actual irregular expenditure by all these departments or entities as well. On the issue of predetermined objectives, I see only the council board has not complied to predetermined objectives. But in all respects, all these entities, if one actually looks at it and the performance, they have not performed according to predetermined objectives. They've underperformed. And there's a number of cases of underachievement. Now, reasons can be varied reasons, but fundamentally, performance information says, did you achieve or did you not achieve? You can give explanations. But if it's a predetermined objective, why isn't it reported as an underachievement? And yeah, I think only the council board is held liable and not other entities. And I have a problem with that interpretation because it is not accurate. Concerning compliance with laws and regulation, I think that is very clear. That all of them essentially are not compliant and they need to update their performance and policies. And then also, why I've raised those particular issues, if I look at the key focus areas, we clearly can see that there were targets set in various departments and these targets were not actually met. And yet it's clearly on page 3 of the presentation, supply chain management. Now, there's a, for instance, Department of Defense. There's a policy in place, anti-corruption, anti-fraud policy from 2001, 2003, 2005, and there's currently an anti-criminality policy under discussion which must be approved, and that will be the latest one that's supposed to be the most comprehensive. Clearly, from all the cases reported in the annual report, there's a serious problem. So how come they are not qualified on this particular matter of emphasis? So we can see all the red areas on page 3 does not reflect the first page. And these are predetermined objectives that has been set by the department itself and by the entities in their performance. So that is the issue I want to raise. The other one I want to raise is also on the issue of where the causal board on page 12 of the presentation, it says here the audit committee members were not appointed by the accounting authority for the period 1 November 2011 to 31st of March 2012, required by treasury regulations. Now, we're supposed to receive our regular IYMs, our regular quarterly reports. Now, they're supposed to be reported in the quarterly report of performance. Because audit committees, internal control, internal audit are fundamental to sound financial management. Was this reported in the quarterly report? If not, what measures have been taken against the management and board itself that this has not been? Don't they have a checklist in place that Treasury puts a template in place that people have to comply with, all departments? Now, I feel that is a serious oversight, and even for this committee to have received the quarterly report where that is not clearly indicated, that audit committee is not functioning, clearly we can have problems. So I've got concerns in the approach that has been taken on this matter and our reporting systems that are coming through. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can we get a response from the Office of the Auditor General?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If I can just ask, I will look at some more questions and then my colleague Jan can look at some of the questions. Firstly, I would like to thank the Honorable Member that recommended us for our audit work. We do try to assist the members as far as possible because it also makes us happy to see the changes in the reporting accountability improve from year to year. It does not give us pleasure to issue qualified reports all the time. We would like to see improvements. So we also appreciate it when members take our reports seriously and do something about them because in the end it leads to improvement in financial reporting and also in the service delivered, you know, by the departments in meeting the objectives for which they exist for. So we will do our best whenever called upon to do so to report to the member in any matter that is going to assist them in their important oversight function. To try and look at some of the questions, one of the questions that was raised last relates to the non-reporting important reports by the Customs Control Board, for example, that they did not have an audit committee. Will be a matter that the entity has to deal with itself in terms of reporting to the National Treasury. We look at the annual report and we report on the findings in terms of the compliance with laws and regulations as we have reported in this regard. The other questions related also to the predetermined objectives where it does not appear in our report that the department and some entities have underachieved. I believe we have reported in many occasions where we have given the percentages, for example, that 57B objectives were not met as such. But our report, that is more an information report to say that we are not reporting in our audits as to the achievement or non-achievement of the objective. We are reporting more on the correct reporting. If the department has not set its objectives, it has to report in line with the framework as provided by the National Treasury. Ours is to, if I may say so, to sort of like validate the report that has been presented in the annual report as a reliable report on which the whoever is interested, you know, the oversight bodies and the public as such can make informed judgment. So the achievement we do highlight as a matter of additional interest, but it's not an audit finding. It doesn't mean that it's not been reported correctly in the annual report. Our concern is whether they have complied with the required the reporting format as prescribed by the National Treasury and also in terms of the regulation. As far as that has been complied with and all the applicable legislation, then we don't have a negative finding because the report is reliable. You can rely on that report. But we do, as a matter of interest, was to highlight that whenever it's significant, the achievement. The other question that we can look at is also as regards the audit opinion, the unqualified audit opinion that was achieved by the department this year. May I just point out that it's not a clean opinion, it's an unqualified audit opinion. That means there are still other findings that we need, but it's not qualified as such. The clean audit opinion is only reached when there are no other findings as well. There are still a lot of other findings on compliance with law regulations, on pre-determined objectives and the other areas, but it's only unqualified because of what we expect as the exemption that partly that plays a major role in the department being able to report on the capital assets. My colleague may explain more on give more details as to the other questions that came from that one, like the value of the other assets that are not reported on or that are not audited that appeared in terms of the auditor, and also the indications that the valuation thereof on the one rand values which are allowed in terms of the reporting requirement as discussed by the National Treasury and the PSMA. Maybe Dan can just
Okay, if I can deal with the
normal step to move closer to him.
Honourable Chair, there was a question about the recourse for regression in audit opinion. I think from the auditor general side, it's just for us to audit and report, make recommendations. I think it's not within our mandate to necessarily, in the AGE's mandate, to take steps, but just to report. Then, with regard to the names of the companies, the entities that were involved in the supply chain issues, we will be able to compile a list or to get the details of those entities. The appointments, we audit a sample of appointments. We do not audit the entire population. I suppose it will be possible to get the levels and the specific positions applicable if it's so required. Then, honourable members, with regard to the departure, because it was a departure and not an exemption, it was a departure in terms of section 79 of the PFMA. Now, the Accountant General can grant a departure from the reporting framework in terms, I think it's section 79 of the, and that was done in terms of section 79. It wasn't an exemption in terms of section 92, in which case it had to be gazetted in the government gazette. So it was a section 79 departure. With regard to the assets disclosed, the other categories of assets disclosed in the annexures, I am of the view that those assets are grossly overstated and needs to be dealt with in terms of Chapter 9 of the reporting guide. And they will also be in a position to apply the one rand principle. In other words, assets that they've acquired prior to April 2002, they can actually disclose at one rand in terms of the reporting framework set by the Accountant General on the members. If there was ever a similar case granted or deviation granted by the Accountant General, unfortunately I'm not aware of that, so I cannot actually comment on that one. With regard to the irregular expenditure, the majority of the 271 million relates to the AMG contract, that I think they can only get out of that contract in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. So the majority of that relates to that. The 52 million and the 109 million relates to the procurement of executive aircraft via the reserve force component of the department. That practice was stopped and is currently being looked at, investigated. That's why they've actually disclosed that as irregular expenditure. So they're busy looking at that. On the SDA side, the financial misconduct, unfortunately, I do not have the detail of that contract and the value thereof. I think we can supply that to the committee in writing. The matter of the shadow planes, we have looked at the matter of the shadow planes in terms of the Defence Act, and there were some justification in terms of the Defence Act, if you look at the security requirements, etc., etc. And the supply chain processes were actually followed. So, on the Arms Corps side, the matter of the clean audits, that they didn't get. that relates to the shareholders' compact that was not signed and in place. We dealt with the section 79. The fact, I think since about 8 years ago, departments were required to compile an asset register and disclose assets. In the previous financial year was actually the first time, 10-11, that the department made an attempt to compile an asset register. And they did make a lot of progress in the previous year, but they could not achieve any great success with it. But during the 11-12, after the departure was granted from the Accountant General, they managed to get that. Whether they inherited this, yes, they actually inherited the systems. The ARC systems are also called legacy systems. It's more inventory systems than what you can actually manage assets on those systems. So they've got a bit of a challenge. They have, in the interim, made some adjustments or patches to these systems. That's why they could actually produce some asset register for us for the three main categories of assets. But they are very much, or they are awaiting the new the IFMS system, that be a more integrated ERP system, and that will actually put them in a position to actually properly manage their assets. Okay, we've dealt with the 1 rand issue, so the fact that they can actually disclose assets at 1 rand, strategic asset at 1 rand, very expensive asset because they were acquired prior to April 2002. That is in terms of reporting framework on remunerators. Honourable Chair, I'm not sure whether I've covered everything, whether Mr. Slava has covered everything. If there's anything else that I need to comment on, please.
Honourable members, I'm sure you are satisfied with the responses to your questions. Honourable Mania, you still have something?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to come back to the unqualified audit, and thank you for the correction. It is not a clean audit, it is an unqualified audit. Had the Department of Defence not received a departure in terms of Section 72, would 79, would the Department have received an unqualified audit? That's the first question.
What was the relevance of the question, Honourable Minier?
Well,
what was the relevance of that question? What the relevance? Because my understanding is that the departure is part of legislation, isn't it?
Yes.
Since it's legislated. The only problem is that you caused confusion by being inconsistent with the terminology. You see. So what we want you to do, you must be consistent with the terminology so that members should not be confused. We are not questioning legislation, we are questioning processes, Honourable Mini. If the departure is legislation, legislated is the departure. We can't change it now. Thank you very much.
Nevertheless, my question stands. Then on the asset value, am I correct that the assets that were not disclosed and not audited, the stated value is approximately 30 billion rand, even although in your view the value of those assets is overstated? Then in terms of the investigation into the so-called shadow claims, I appreciate your finding, but when will I receive a report from the Auditor General on that investigation? That's my second point. And the third, I wonder if you could just clarify the method of valuing assets. So my understanding is that an asset, even a strategic asset, that was purchased is before 2002 can be valued at 1 rand. Would it be correct to say, therefore, that a Gripen aircraft that has a value presumably of several million rand that was purchased in terms of the strategic defense package in 1999 will be valued at 1 rand? How did that get, huh? Then it's grossly understated.
Thank you, Chair. If I can start, the value of the assets as per annex chart, yes, I think they are at the stated value is about 100 billion. But as we have said, we have not audited, we have not subjected the annex chart to audit in the same way as we have audited the financials, because we are not required to do so, and this is not part of the auditable financial statement. But as part of the conditions for the departure, the National Treasury required that those values should be stated so that they are not lost, and so that they can be brought into audit also in the years to come. The other question, the original question whether the department has been unqualified, had there not been this departure, in our opinion, it would have been qualified because it needs more time to work on the assets that have been shown by way of annexure. So I don't think the department has had sufficient time to work on those assets to such an extent as to achieve an unqualified audit product at this point in time. But now the department does have a chance to have an unqualified audit report also in the future, if it can deal with those assets in a similar way to make sure that they meet the reporting requirements. It is a complex, it is going to be a very challenge for the department to do so, and maybe that is one of the areas where we request the oversight body presence of the committees, like the proposal committee, to help by ensuring that the department does have in place the action plan that how it's going to deal with those other assets that are at the moment shown by the to make sure that they are also unqualified in that regard. On the shade of land planes, I think Jan has
on the pertaining to the shadow planes, as I've explained, Honourable Member and Chair, we've looked at the Act, we've looked at supply chain processes, we couldn't find anything untoward in the process, so there was not necessary to report anything in the audit report, and that's why it didn't end up in the audit report. With regard to the special defense packages, some of those assets haven't been completely delivered, so they're not on the asset register. So the chances of having in those cases, those assets will probably be fair valued. They do have all the information. We're controlling that from the SDA side as well. So we do comparisons, and we will probably discuss those assets at a realistic value. It's mostly these old assets in the Army and some of the old other old planes and equipment and stuff that they go the 1 rand option. But we do have evidence, we do have supporting evidence for the invoices and reports for those SDP assets. I think that's about.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to know, normally Treasury would put a time frame in place if they're dealing with assets. This year, the deviation will accommodate the department in this respect. next year in that respect, they normally give you a fixed time frame to comply with. It's not open-ended. The other one is, I just like the AG to respond to the additional departmental revenue that was raised. And of course, we know that the 765,000 that was, of course, returned to the treasury. That's, of course, the revenue fund. Of course, the additional money raised, when you add it up, we find that the variance is bigger than the original variance of 17 million. What was the interpretation of the AG? Additional money, and of course, that added to the budget as well.
Well, remember, the additional, as far as I can recall, the additional revenue relates to monies relating to deployments that we got back from the UN. And that may explain the difference, but we can go into that and we can maybe report back to the committee as it got to that.
There's a follow-up question. Why I raised the issue is that there's a commitment of South Africa to perform these peace missions and exercises on behalf of the AU and the UN. But if that is the case, that money has come back, where does it reflect in the account that there's a debt owing to the department? Because if it was a debt owing, then of course I can understand it, but I see this as additional revenue.
Honourable Member, if there is a debt, it will be in receivables for departmental revenue. It will be included in the accrual portion of revenue. But I haven't got the detail with me, so we can report back to the committee on that.
Any other question, Honourable Members? Honourable
Munir. Thank you, Chair. I've received a clear explanation in respect to shadow claims, but I would just like to say to Auditor General, I specifically wrote to the Auditor General requesting that investigation, and I think it only proper that I receive a report from the Auditor General on that investigation. But we can leave it. We can leave there. On the SAF Reserve Squadron and your the 109 million rands worth of irregular expenditure, I've long been concerned about what is going on in the South African Air Force Reserve Squadron in respect of VIP aircraft. So I'm delighted that the Auditor General is looking into this matter and has picked it up. But I wonder if you could give us some more detail. Are you conducting any special investigations? Is the Department of Defense conducting boards of inquiry? What exactly is going on here?
Honourable Member, as far as I know, Chair, the Department is investigating this matter. That's why they've actually disclosed it as irregular expenditure.
All right. Okay. We'll have to get the details of that investigation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think Honourable Members have exhausted all the your questions, and Honourable Gavadili summed it up. She has just given you some task, researcher. If you see in the key focus areas, look at the key focus areas. We have problem areas which need to be resolved. We have no negative findings which need to be sustained. And we have work in progress which needs to come to conclusion. If you can make it simpler, going forward for the members to make some sort of a dashboard, so that next time when we meet, those are the issues that we go with. Instead of moving like a pendulum back and forth. So you will thank you very much, Honorable Gabadeli, for summing it up that way. And thank you very much, Mr. Kongwani and Mr. Jelkamp Tongba, by the one from Limpopo. Mr. Tonga, my apologies. And Mr. Stienekam, thank you very much. And the meeting sergeant, thank you.
Chair, I'd just like to make a point about the program going forward. I know that
And you will open the meeting.
No, it's fine. If you talk about progress, yeah. It's fine. I know that you are in the process of compiling a draft program, and part of your program will be dealing with the annual report. I'd like to request, Chair, that you and your management committee consider dealing with that management report, that annual report, differently from previous years. It's my own view that we have not had sufficient time to deal with that report in any great depth. And my proposal would be that, obviously, in terms of the PFMA, the annual report is presented in one session by the Secretary of Defense, but thereafter we have at least 4, possibly 5 meetings dealing with separate sections of that report, and particularly that we deal with the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Health Services separately, and that the Chief of Service, in this case, the Chief of Air Force, Chief of Navy, Chief of Army, and the Chief of the Health, be present at that meeting to account on their departments. Thank you, Chair. I hope you'll consider that proposal.
Thank you very much. The proposal is always noted. Honorable members, I also think this will, going forward, this will help us going through the BRRR process, and I think we will have a full grasp of this process now. Thank you very much. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. I adjourn again.